Welcome to the Rearview Mirror Podcast, looking back on all that we don't know and a few things that we do. You can tell me now.
I don't remember. I would tell you, but I don't remember what I was going to say.
Okay.
Welcome back to episode whatever number we're at and whatever season we're in.
Season 3, episode 6.
Yeah. You say that so confidently, but you have absolutely no idea.
None. Yeah, not even close.
That's exactly what I thought.
None.
Well, good. What is it? Thursday afternoon we're recording. A little different than our Friday morning routine.
Yeah, it's 4 o'clock and it's almost dark.
I know. I hate this. I think I get depressed. Seasonal affective disorder is a real thing.
It's got to. I sure hope it is.
Gosh.
It's depressing.
I can't stand this. Yeah. Yeah. Who's the smart folks that figured out this is a good idea?
I don't know. How did daylight savings time even come into being?
Yeah. Hey, that's Siri.
It had something to do with farming, I think.
Oh, did it really?
I think so. That's the extent of my knowledge. Shout out Parkview High School. We didn't talk about that a lot.
Parkview High School, Little Rock, Arkansas. You're on the air. Oh, hey, I had an interesting, you know, before I even had an interesting, this is frustrating that we have to do this podcast today because we did a really good podcast last week and a little honest confession.
I thought it was really good. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Well, why can't we just air that tomorrow, Jeff?
Because I freaking lost the SD card that we recorded it on. I've gotten really good in the last 20 years at not losing stuff. I've flat out lost.
Yeah, that's really not your, you don't lose. You're very organized.
Yeah, generally speaking, so.
Yes.
It's weird.
In fairness to you, it's so small, I can't even see it without my glasses. It is a little bitty piece.
Yeah.
And so you looked at the office today after we searched last night. You did not find it.
But I put in this big old sucker here that's a good, like, 8 inches by 3 inches, and I don't know how the heck I lost it, but I did. So this is one of those weird times when Mr. Organic are going to try to recreate something we've already done and keep it organic. Be interesting to see how our conversation goes today.
Yeah. Well, again, as we've talked about before, the good part is at our age, I don't really remember a lot of what we talked about last week, so it's all fresh to me.
That's a really good point. That's a really good point. Anyway, I was thinking about this group of guys I was with. I mentioned to you, I think, at dinner the night, there's this group of guys that a buddy of mine leads. There's like 8 or 10 of them. They meet a round table down at a big office complex in Nashville, and he had me to come in and I got to share 30, 40 minutes with them about second half of life stuff. And, you know, hey, what does it look like as your age? They're young guys, they're 30s and 40s, and they're just blowing and going, building great careers and businesses. And they just, you know, they asked me to come in. And so I shared some thoughts on, you know, things looking back, a kind of rearview mirror concept, you know, things looking back, gosh, I wish I'd done differently. Things that I'm glad I did. They've had a good, you know, return on investment over time. And then we just did some Q&A together. And I left there and it was so much fun talking with those guys and listening to those guys and interacting with them.
What's the group? What is their group? What's the structure? What's the name?
So they meet, I think it's called Search Ministries. It's something's been around here for, oh, our buddy Bill used to run this thing years ago.
Oh, okay.
Okay. The same organization. I think it's gone through some changes, but they basically recruit 10 to 12 guys to be at a round table or whatever they call it. They meet for a couple hours a week for a year. They do one big retreat at the beginning as well. And they just go through a lot of different material and bring in some guys at times, you know, like I did, just be a little special speaker and then do a Q&A with. I mean, it was really cool. Just guys who are really hungry. And I asked the guys, I said, so what is it that this group does for you? And for all of them, it was something along the lines of, a place to be real, a place to realize I'm not alone, a place to get tools that somehow in my life journey I didn't pick up or gather, or a place to grab some tools and refine them. And, you know, I said, okay, so like in what areas? And for them, it was pretty global. You know, they said they felt like it's as being as men in how most of them run small businesses or are part of, I guess some of them in the big corporate space, but most of them are in small businesses they've created. So they feel like they're sharpening a little bit about how they do that. And then they're talking about all of them, but one is married, and all the guys that are married have kids. And so they say, man, it's amazing how many times our conversations turn to, man, how do I be a better dad? Or what is it that I'm missing, you know, as a husband? And so it felt very holistic and pretty big in what the stuff they're talking about. But again, a safe place for them to show up and just say, you know, to a guy who's leading the group that's a little bit older, hey, can we raise our hands and say, hey, help?
And did they ask questions?
Oh, gosh, yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
The vibe was pretty relaxed?
It was, yes. Like, Greg had given me like a two-hour window. I spoke for like 30 minutes, did a little chalk talk. They had a whiteboard in there, drew some stuff, talked about it. And then I said, hey, so where would you put yourself on this little chart? And so they started talking about that. Well, where would you put your dad on this chart? What kind of man was he? Started talking about dad. Well, where would you like to be on this chart? And started talking about that. And I said, this chart's not just about work, because the chart I drew up, we usually think about it as men, about our career paths. I said, it's about all of life too. And man, that's when I felt like the floodgates opened. We started talking about, man, how am I doing in this area of my life, in this area of my life? And they were just really, it's really honest questions. And, I wasn't there to be the expert with all the answers. I was there to facilitate the conversation. Sometimes I'd say, man, what a great question. Some of you other guys weigh in on that. How would you speak to that? And so we were kind of talking with each other. But it was cool to be the old guy in the room and not feel like I know everything, but just feel like, hey, can I tell you how I've seen that play out in other people's lives or in my life? And just kind of a caution or kudos, keep doing it, you know, whatever it may be. So I really enjoyed that.
Interesting.
And I walked away from it realizing, gosh, how many men do you and I know that would wildly benefit from sitting around a table like that? Because it feels like isolation in the world of men is, maybe it's always been this way, but gosh, it feels like, especially right now, it's so epidemic. You know, it's just so many men who are walking alone, or men who are looking for role models but not knowing where to turn for role models. So it's just like, who's got the biggest, most bravado in their voice? And well, if Jordan Peterson says that, or if Theo Vaughn says that, and I'm not saying those are bad guys, but you're like, well, then that must be it. But if you're not careful, that's one-dimensional listening, kind of like what we do on our podcast, you know, in some ways, versus, man, let me sit around in a circle, and the old proverb, iron sharpens iron. Let me be some other guys where I can really fine-tune what I'm thinking, believing, feeling. That's what that felt like. I really enjoyed doing that.
I wonder why there aren't more groups like that. Maybe there are, but
yeah.
I don't know about a lot of them.
Yeah.
I wonder why there aren't more groups like that.
Well, you know, think about it. When you do hear about men's groups, usually what are they?
In the faith-based area?
Well, that's where I usually hear of them.
Yeah. I mean, there's a golf group. There's a businessman's luncheon, young entrepreneurs group.
Yeah.
Or in the church world, there's a Bible study.
Yeah. Yeah. It feels like those are the categories. Not that those are necessarily bad categories.
No. I'm just naming what a. Yep. I mean, that's just a.
Yeah.
So, yeah, those are what I think of.
Yeah.
I think what they have in common is they're all either around an activity or they're content driven. Mm-hmm. Which I think limits the amount of interaction.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Or for sure, it limits the kind of interaction. You know,
yeah.
I have to, if it's a young entrepreneurs group, I've got to be able to flex and show you why my business is working well.
Right.
You know, versus, I don't know, for want of a better word, a process kind of group, a group where you can just get together and talk about, man, this is what's going on. I think in that man world, you and I've talked about this so many times. It feels like this, for so many of us men, what's got us held hostage is either shame or fear.
Oh, for sure.
You know? And so if I go to a group where everybody's so successful, well, the last thing I want to do is let you know, well, I'm kind of sucking at that.
Right.
You know? Or if I go to a Bible study where it feels like everybody else knows what's going on here, then it's really easy to, well, let me just stay quiet and I'll gather more content. And in gathering content, maybe I'll be better next time.
Mm-hmm.
I remember doing that in my own journey, you know, going to groups and in my 30s and even my early 40s, I feeling like, okay, well, I'm not exactly sure what we're talking about here, but if I just absorb, it's like by osmosis, I'm going to get it.
Yeah.
Instead of being able to raise my hand and say, guys, I have no idea what we're talking about. Can somebody tell me more about this concept we're talking about
right.
Whatever the topic would have been.
Hmm.
But I think that fear and shame thing, you know, that just feels like, I feel like, I don't know, and maybe I'm wrong. I'm with these guys for 2 hours in this group. But the thing I walked away from is going, gosh, those guys weren't afraid to ask some really vulnerable, process-oriented questions. And when they ask them, everybody wasn't there to fix them. They were there to sit with them and go, wow, that sounds hard.
Yeah.
And then if the guy would say, well, thoughts, there may be some best practices thrown in the room, but nobody was saying, well, what you need to do is, you know, there was none of that kind of crosstalk, if you please.
Yeah.
But there was just this real empathy and compassion. And some of the best questions were like, well, that sounds really hard. What are you going to do about it? It's like, put it right back in the guy's lap. Mm-hmm. You know, that feels helpful. That's what I feel like you've done for me so many times through the years when we've been talking about different areas back at Panera days.
Yeah. Yeah. That is interesting. I think the fear part too with guys in that age bracket, really guys in every age bracket, was especially in business, I think there's a need to have a place where you can talk about fear and talk about failure.
Mm.
Most businesses, I mean, statistically, most family-owned businesses don't last. Most businesses don't last past the life of their founder.
Mm-hmm.
And so
that succession is hard.
That's documented. So whether it's a family business or a corporate, you know, they just don't. And so, and a lot of small businesses fail.
Mm-hmm. The first few years.
For sure. So I think a place that's daunting to think about, talk about. So I think when you've got a place to do that,
it's a gift.
It is.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I think it takes me back to, you know, I don't know what year it was, 2015 or 14, whenever, you know, you, me, and a couple of our buddies just started doing those Wednesday mornings or whatever it was at Panera. And we all went in there. We weren't going to do a book study. We weren't sure we were going to go more than 8 weeks. We said, we'll just start with that and see how it goes. And then, gosh, I feel like we went pretty hard and regularly for, I don't know, 18 months, 2 years. It was a long window.
I think so.
You know? And then we did kind of petered out a little bit and faded away. But, man, those days when we were together regularly and able to come in with no agenda, but dress that there'd be a conversation that was going to be valuable. Those were some of my favorite times around a table with other men. Just, you know, how you doing today? You know, not very well.
Yeah.
Great.
Right.
You want to talk about it or not? You know?
Did you have that earlier in your life, in your pastor days or younger days?
Yeah. I feel like I did in my earliest days, probably in my, shortly after we got married, probably like my late 20s, maybe my early 30s for a couple years with a group of guys that we got together regularly. And this was, you know, in the days where accountability groups were the big thing. But it was a group of, there were like six of us. They were a little bit of rebel spirit to us all probably. And so we weren't just trying to, you know, do the curriculum per se. We just really kind of did life together, but it fizzled out pretty quick. And I don't know why. And then I was in a lot of men's groups for the next 7-8 years that were like functional and transactional and content and did stuff. But like, I have no memories about those other than, yeah, those are guys I got to know and we talked, but just kind of check the boxes. It felt like.
How'd you know that you needed or wanted that?
I don't think I did. I just think I was doing the right thing because, you know, we were studying the Bible or we were talking about how to be better husbands or whatever. So I thought, well, this must be what I need. But, you know, there's kind of almost an instinctive part of it of going, something about this still doesn't feel like it's really what I need, but I had no vision for it.
You know?
I'm trying to believe the press, and the press that was coming out was, hey, get in a group with some other guys and let them know what you struggle with. And okay, I'll do that. You know, I think the group that was the first transformational experience I had was, it was interesting. It was a marriage group with five couples. And then the guys would meet, just the five guys we'd meet once a month. And man, it was so cool because there was no content for the group. We got together every night as couples and we answered two questions. And those questions were some of the best questions I think I've ever asked about my marriage and how we were doing. And we would share it, men and women together. And then we guys would get together and it would be like, we would go to another level of being willing just to be known and be willing to say, gosh, this is an area I'd like to grow in. Now, the downside of that group is we were all within like 3 or 4 years of the same age of each other. We were, you know, late 30s, early 40s, but yeah, that was the first time I really was in a group where I thought, this is what it could be like to be with people where you don't have to answer the right questions. You can just show up and be real. Hmm. For me. What about for you? Your experience.
I don't know, I'd have to think about that a little bit. I don't know. Single days, I got to be friends with everything, you know, much like much of my life. It just happens organically.
Yeah. Yep.
I don't, you know, this is sometimes good, sometimes this is a flaw. I don't think in terms of, hey, I need to be, what's the word we always use, intentional about this.
Yeah.
I ended up with these friends that were great. And I still see some of them, you know, in my early single days. We were in some groups. I'm better connecting one-on-one or one-on-two. So uh-huh. I've got a lot of those kinds of relationships now, or not a lot, but you know, a decent amount. I've never loved the group.
Yeah.
If I'm being honest.
Yeah.
I struggle.
Yeah.
Because a lot of that's just personality type. It takes a lot for me to open up and share with somebody.
Yeah. Yeah.
And if I'm in a, I don't care if it's a, you know, 30 guys at the pub after a round of golf or at a small group from a church, if I've just met you, it's going to take some time before I share anything with you.
Yeah.
So it's never, you know, it's just never been something I've loved.
Yeah. Yeah.
Honestly. And I don't. My memory's not great, so Jen may correct me when I get home or when she hears this. I don't recall getting there. Certainly, there were some good things. We made some friends in groups throughout the years,
like marriage couple or couple groups or whatever.
Yes, yeah, yeah. That are really great.
Yeah.
So that has come out of it.
Yes. Yeah.
But a lot of those we were already friends with.
Yeah.
And I think we'd be friends with anyway.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I'm just.
But you have a year in that group with Al and Jason and those guys,
Jeff. Okay, no, I forgot about that. You're right.
Wasn't that just
holy
like
cow, that was.
I thought I remember that being a big thing for you.
That was transformational.
Yeah,
that was different though. It was kind of a crazy counselor here in town that we had gotten to know. Mm-hmm. A guy that was going through some major stuff. A younger guy that had lost a child.
That's right. Yeah.
And don't know why how I got mixed up, but we ended up meeting. I really don't know how that got started.
Yeah.
But we met for a while. That was, man, that was intense. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Just because of life circumstances. But there were some transformational things in that. So, yes, you're right about that.
When y'all were in that group, though, what was going on in it? Were y'all doing a study? Was there, like, what happened there?
No. Al directed it. Yeah. But much like, you know, if you know his personality, and you do, just a couple of questions and guys, you know. You couldn't get us to stop talking.
Wow.
And then we would start interacting with each other. And I remember things guys said to me that in that group.
Really?
Yes.
Yeah.
Specifically. Yeah. And, man, there was no curriculum other than what, it's kind of like what you're describing. He's a little bit older than us. Counseled people for years. Uh-huh. Has a great demeanor.
Uh-huh.
And he was just giving back to some younger guys that he saw in the ditch.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, and so the curriculum was what was in his head.
Uh-huh.
Much like what you do here in mm-hmm. this and in your office.
Just how he shows up.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That's so cool.
Yeah. I'd forgotten about that. I'm glad you said
that. I did
remember
that. Mm-hmm. I felt like that was a big win in that season for you.
Yeah, and I don't want to discount other groups. It's not like they weren't good or there weren't benefits from them. And I think, you know, it's not good for people to be alone or to live in loneliness. Uh-huh. However, you know, again, personality type, I think that just some people enjoy that more than others.
Right, right, right.
You know? And at this stage, you know, what you're saying, there are no new old friends.
Mm-hmm.
I'm certainly not opposed to making new friends.
Yeah.
But more times than not, I'm going to choose to spend my time with the people that I already know.
Yeah.
Or the people that are close. I mean, I have circles, you know, family and friends, and circles go in and into out, and the outer circles get the least amount of time.
Yeah. You know, when you go back to when I talked to you, gosh, it's been about a year ago. And I said, hey, I'm thinking, I got a crazy idea. I want to run it by you. I just want you to sit with this and think about it some.
You've done that so many times. I've just gotten used to it.
Yeah, you often doze off when I say that.
What? Yeah. That's why. Why do you think I get that espresso every time when we do this?
That hurts. It's true. No, but I remember I said, I'm thinking about doing a podcast. I feel like there's something in me that I'd like to do that. And honestly, I didn't know what your response would be. There's a part of me thinking you were going to roll your eyes and laugh at me, you know? But I said, I think here's why, Steve. You know, I feel like as I look back over my life as I get older, I think there's some things I've done well. There's a lot of things I wish I'd have done differently. And I just would love to be a voice to whoever would listen in and say, hey, here's some thoughts as we look back in the rear view. I don't know if we had that phrase then. And I remember you didn't say, let me think about it. You immediately were like, I'd love to do that.
Yeah.
What do you think that's about, that or that was about, that caused you to go, gosh, here's a platform, here's an opportunity for me to do something. What do you think that was about in you that caused you to go, man, I'd love to share some stuff with people that might be listening in?
I don't know.
Yeah.
I really don't. That's, I mean, I'm, you know, top of my head, I think maybe I like to hear myself talk. I don't know.
That's
that could
that.
Be
yeah.
that.
Yeah.
There are so many opportunities that come around, I guess. Well, let me back up. I think I was fortunate to have, I mean, I've had a great life. And I was fortunate to have a lot of really cool people in it. And a lot of guys to help me along the way mm-hmm. when I was in the ditch, about to go mm-hmm. in the ditch, coming out of the ditch. Mm-hmm. You know, and I feel like God placed those people in my life.
Yeah.
And so I love hashing out life with other guys in a small mm-hmm. setting, younger guys. Yeah. I like doing that. I thought this was a venue that allows you to share more things than you can share at a dinner party.
Right, right, right.
I think that's what, there's some of that. Mm-hmm. I feel like there are thoughts in my head that folks have said before, hey, that's useful.
Yeah.
You know, and a lot of them, most of them I picked up from you and other people.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
so that's a place to share those that you don't get to share a lot.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I don't know
no.
if that makes sense or not.
It does. It makes great sense. I think it's probably where we both are is like, I use that word a lot, steward. You know, I want to steward what I've been given, good, bad, and ugly, you know, and just be willing to go, gosh, if in this season of life, there's something I can pass on that's encouraging, I want to do that. You know, it's funny in that the missing podcast from the SD card that I lost, it was somewhere, you know, not that we're recreating the conversation because this is going such a different direction in some ways than we did
last
time.
Yeah, we have done it. Nobody would know, but we've done it. If you hadn't said that, nobody would know.
I know, and that's okay. But the only reason I'm saying is because
we've done a really poor job of recreating that. This is not even close to what it was last time.
Well,
that's okay.
But I think here's the turn point. Where what we got to last time was we started kicking around this idea of, okay, it's cool to be able to do this through these microphones and for the people who listen in, but I think my interaction with this search group of guys caused me to go, gosh, I'd like to be doing that, or at least try to do that with you, with some guys. Are you interested? And that's kind of where we got to last time. And so I'm going to kind of take us there again.
Cause you just did.
Cause your answer last time was, I think so. So I think that's what I'd love to just talk about is, you know, where we got last time was talking in terms of, gosh, what would it be like? Because the cement is still so wet with all this for us. We don't know for sure what we're wanting to do fully. But, you know, I think one of the things I would love for you and I to speak to today is kind of this desire of going, is there a way for us to get out from behind the microphones and sit around a circle with a group of guys and kind of have some of the same conversations we're having here? Does that kind of bring us back to where we were?
Yeah, I think so. That's what we kicked that around at the end last time. And yeah, I think it does.
Yeah, yeah. Because I think there's, you know, somehow one of us used the word round table, you know, like, what if we did the rearview mirror round table where we just got some guys together and give it a place where they can sit down and just tell the truth, ask questions, no fixing, no judging, but just a place really of processing this journey and be with a couple of guys who got a few years on them that, again, it's not that we have all the right answers, but that we're not afraid to ask more questions to try to help people. I think of that concept of being a Sherpa to help people climb the mountain that's ahead of them. Then, man, how can we help readjust the backpack as you're trying to climb that mountain?
Hmm. Yeah. Yeah, there's something interesting about that. I think it came out of a conversation we were having about you know, and things. I don't know that you and I had ever talked about this, but you made a comment about your family.
Oh, yeah.
And you said, and it kind of fueled some other conversation in the lost episode that led to this roundtable conversation even before that. But
yeah,
you said something like failure was never right-sized in your family.
Yeah.
And so there's a fear and shame driving men to loneliness, not having a place to get together. And you were telling a little bit about your story on that.
Yeah. Man, I'm going to grab my phone.
You need to make a call?
No, yeah. Hey, honey, you need anything for the grocery store? No, that Friday when we recorded it, that morning I was driving up to do my little workout with my guy that's helped me work out, and I just dictated something to the phone. And I won't read it all, but this was on my mind that Friday morning, probably from a conversation Laura and I had on Thursday. But this is kind of what I dictated. I wrote down, my unhealthy relationship with fear continues to impact me in so many different ways. And I say this, I hide my fear by telling myself that I'm really good at acceptance. I just accept where I am. I accept my season. I said, you know, there's some examples I thought about of different groups I've been in or things that I'd like to try to make happen, or even the fear of money and planning. But I just go, well, you know, it's okay. This is where I am. And I think what I end up doing, if I'm not careful, I wrote this down. If I'm not careful, I get to this place where I go, so what do I need to do? What does it mean I need to do? If this fear is still present in my life, do I need to go to an executive coach? Do I need a therapist? Do I need to reach back out to a former therapist? Do I need to read different books? What is it I need to do that helps me address fear? You remember?
Mm-hmm.
And you know, you had a great, was it a question or observation you made? You said something like, what'd you say? Like the
most of the time when you address something like that, it involves the things you think you need to do.
That's right. Yeah.
Instead of maybe something you need to uncover or just think about or just sit in it.
That's what you said. Just sit with it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And see what happens.
Yeah. 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 I think that's what when I'm at my best and when I'm with people who love me and who are not afraid to call me, that's what they'll, just like you did, that's what takes me to the better place is when I don't feel like I've got to go fix it, but I'll just sit with it and let it be and try to understand it, certainly. But at first, just go, gosh.
It's kind of that delicate line that we talked about at the beginning of the podcast when we first started it that I said, and I still believe this is true. It's not that you have great content. You have things that you've given me that I still have in my office.
It's crazy.
So there's content. Your content is spot on. Mm-hmm. I think you're best when you're not driving the boat towards a destination.
Yeah.
In general, you are. But when you, like when we're on here, and you would say, I think sometimes you're not sure where we're going with these conversations.
Yeah, I say it often, right?
I don't ever worry about that because I know it's going to click in.
Yeah.
And that's when I think you've got the best things to say.
Yeah. 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 I appreciate that. Yeah. I think though, what you said is so true. I think in my family, fear was the fear almost, you know, the Christian family, it was almost this fear of doing something wrong, you know, committing a sin, doing the bad thing. And if you did it, it felt so massive. I haven't told the story in ages, but I remember playing football my freshman year of high school, and I was almost 6 feet tall, and I weighed like 130. I mean, I was so thin. We were doing the Oklahoma drill. Of course, I go up against the biggest kid on our team. I don't know, but a big kid on our team. And the night before, we'd been at church, and it'd been one of those nights, you know, in my background where I'd recommitted myself, and I'm going to be a good boy, and I'm going to live for Jesus, and I'm not going to screw up, you know. And I remember the next morning getting dressed for school, and I put on my old Levi jeans, and I popped my Gideon's New Testament in my back pocket, and my wallet in the other one, because by golly, I'm gonna live for Jesus. That was just the worldview, right?
Yeah.
Go to school, and in my mind, I'd lived perfectly that day. Again, that's the worldview I was acquainted with. Get on the football field, and Bobby Rowland, I love Bobby. I haven't seen him in years, but he was so much fun. Bobby is this big old boy, and he rolls over and he hits me, and he hits me. I remember my head snaps back, and as I'm going to the ground, I truly think the back of my helmet hit the ground first. And you know those the stars, and you're spinning, and I hit the ground. And I remember I said out loud, "Oh shit!"
Yeah.
And then the very next thought in my brain was, "Well, that's it. I failed.
Straight
I'm going
to
hell." Exactly.
Yeah.
And so my relationship with fear, between family of origin, between the church world I was raised in, was if you screw up, the consequences are grave. They're horrific. And that's where, you know, you said that phrase. That's where that phrase came from for me, is I never learned how to right size fear.
Mm-hmm.
Fear is not the problem. The problem is not having courage to act on the fear.
In spite of it.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. That's a great way to say it.
Enter into it, kind of.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But you shared a little bit. Talk about that, about how fear was so different in your background.
Man, it was. And I don't really know what this stems from, although I've talked to people about it before. But my wife plays tennis. I played in high school, so we watched tennis. And watched the majors anyway, or the slams. And one of my favorite announcers is John McEnroe.
Oh, yeah.
Because he's got great things to say. He doesn't talk all the time.
Mm.
And a couple of years ago, we were watching a match with Nick Kyrgios, an Australian kid who's a good basketball player, freaky athlete.
Hmm. I didn't know the basketball.
Yeah. Loves the NBA, played basketball, loves video games. He's just a big kid. And the knock on him on the tour has always been most talent, least amount of results.
Hmm.
He doesn't have discipline, won't work at it, doesn't take it seriously. Well, this particular year, he took it pretty seriously, and this was a slam final. I forget which one, maybe in the Open, U.S. Open, but anyway. John McEnroe's brother asked him during the broadcast, "Hey, what do you think's held Nick back? Why is he playing so well this year? What's held him back in the past?" And without missing a beat, he just said, "Oh, fear of failure."
Wow. John McEnroe said that.
Yeah, he said he's afraid to be good.
Mm.
He's afraid of what'll happen if he tries and fails.
Mm.
And I thought, oh my gosh, man, for so much of my life, that was me.
Yeah.
I was good at a lot of things, and I don't say that arrogantly. I just,
yeah.
You know, I'll tell you what I wasn't good at. I was a horrible baseball player.
Mm-hmm.
And so, but there were other things academically and athletically that I was good at. And so, I got to a place where it was easier to be known as someone with potential than to actually try and fail.
Mm-hmm.
And so what I did to mask that was just make reckless decisions to make it look like I'm taking a risk and I'm not afraid.
Wow.
And really, you know, looking back, what I probably wished I would have done, and I'm learning to do it at a different time of life, is it's okay to take a risk, but it's also okay to take a prepared risk,
mm-hmm.
or an evaluated risk.
Calculated, whatever. Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And I'm I get 60% of the information on a subject, I'm ready to go.
Yeah.
I don't need the other 40.
Yeah.
Well, sometimes that's really good in certain mm-hmm. situations. Sometimes it's really not.
Yeah.
And so, unfortunately, in some areas, I've just had to learn that.
Wow.
So there's a fear, I just masked it. Hid behind it differently than you did.
Mm-hmm. Rewind. What did you say? Can you quote yourself? It was like the part where you said, "So I learned to take a no wait. How'd you say it? Dadgummit. The part about I'd rather be the potential.
I'd rather be known.
Sorry.
as the guy with all the potential.
Yeah.
Than to actually try to do something and fail at it.
Gosh, I wish we had like a live studio audience right now of men. I'd love to see how many hands would go up.
I guarantee you 99% of them fall into one of the two categories of what you and I just stated.
Yeah. 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 It's so catastrophic that I'm not going to take the risk, or I'd rather be the potential dude and I'll take crazy risk. Just so
well, I
thought, look
you know,
like,
I had this, I was, God, you know, guy. I was so caught up in myself probably that mm-hmm. I had this reputation mm-hmm. and I didn't want to lose it,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
you know,
mm-hmm.
man, he's good at this or whatever. And mm-hmm. I just didn't want to, I thought, man, if I try and fail,
mm-hmm.
I'll lose that. Well, the reality is mm-hmm. I wasn't all that in a bag of chips anyway.
Right.
Probably.
Right.
But failure, somehow I decided in my mind that just wasn't I was too scared to risk it. Mm-hmm. It wasn't because of my family. My family was loving, and we were great at. I never had anybody in my family tell me that I remember.
Yeah.
Get on me about failure. You've got to. I mean, they'd say you got to try and do better, and you can sure. do. You know, but there was no shame attached to that. Mm-hmm. You mess up, you just get up. Mm-hmm. And so I don't know how I got.
Yeah.
I don't know how that rewiring took place.
What started breaking that cycle in you?
Failure.
Huh. Isn't that interesting?
You know, it's like this discussion in the sports world with my buddies all the time and some guys that came over for dinner the other night. And when I coached basketball and coached kids and I coached some AAU and stuff, and it was just kind of a joke. If I had a parent that came up to me and said, hey, you know, my kid's not that good of a shooter, but they'll dive on the floor and get rebounds for you. I said, well, then they need to find another team. Because that's kind of the baseline. I expect my guys to do that.
Yeah.
But I need somebody because what I think they were really saying is my kid's afraid to try to really work on something that he's not good at.
Mm.
And I recognize that because that was me a lot of times. And so I said, I need guys that can put it in the basket because that's how you win.
Yeah.
And the diving on the floor, I mean, that's just kind of comes with it. So I think I just recognized that in myself. I had some failures, you know, that and still have some, you know, that I just didn't prepare or think through mm-hmm. enough,
mm-hmm.
you know. Mm-hmm. And some of that is if you, you know, you own your own business, that's going to happen.
Right.
But some of it is just my own negligence and thinking I'm really good at something. Mm-hmm. And I guess the point of the basketball story was you can be really talented and work really hard at areas that you're not yes. great at. And both can be true. And I would kind of, for a lot of my life, I think I would just default to one or the other. I would really grind it out on something that maybe was not that great a deal, mm-hmm. or I would just rely on my ability for other things that mm-hmm. I probably should have gotten in the weeds more on. Mm-hmm. So it just took me a long time to put those things together, mm-hmm. as embarrassing as that is to say.
Yeah. Well, no, I love that you're willing to share it because I think most, if not all, young men, I think, need the ability to be able to go, gosh, there's a way I've chosen to, there's a defense structure I've created, there's a coping strategy I've created to try to make life work. And at some point, I've got to look in the mirror and go, oh, crap, that's not working as well as I thought it was.
Right.
You know,
right.
How do I move from fear to again, risk or courage, whatever the right word is there. How do I stop living with this sense of look how cool my potential is, but I live so below it.
Mm-hmm.
I think, you know, it's funny because I feel like my story is both of those stories at one level, depending on the season of life we're talking about. Right. You know, there's time when I think I would rather be known as the guy that's almost this than the guy that actually stepped out and said, okay, let me see if I can really do this.
Right.
But I think that's part of the growing up process, isn't it? Being able to lay down those strategies for how we cope with our fear and our shame. We're focused on fear today, but our fear and our shame as men to be able to go, hey, this is all I've got. This is me.
Right.
I need to responsibly use this and take a risk with it and take a stab. And whether that's about career, whether it's about the way we love and engage our wives, whether it's about hard conversations with our kids, gosh, I guess the list would be limitless. But, you know, fear. What's that old pastor I heard online? Fear. Well, I can't quote him. Never mind. I'd be using the words I said I wasn't going to use today. But he's got this great line about fear just being a constant liar to you. And what it tells you is it's telling you what's not truth. Not that fear can't be helpful, but a lot of times the fear in a lot of our heads are just saying, you know, it's connected to that shame. You can't do that. You're not good enough.
Yeah, you're not enough.
There's that where that fear converts to shame like in a nanosecond, I think.
Right. And don't let that, you know, guy, if you fall on your face, what will people think?
Yeah. 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 I think I wish, man, just before I moved here when I was like the week before I turned 40. And I was in that good group in Chicago that I mentioned to you that I love, the marriage group. But I wish there had been an older voice in that group that could have just said, hey, Jeff, can I tell you a couple things that I might be seeing in you? Can I tell you some places where you're playing it safe? and even moving to this job that you're so excited about, you may be playing it safe. Because what I've also heard you say is this, I wish there had been somebody that could have just reflected all that I was saying in those days to me. Would I have listened? I don't know. I'd like to think I would have, but who knows?
Yeah.
But I know this, that voice, I don't know, sage voice or older voice or courageous voice was missing in those days for me. And I wish I would have had it just to go, huh, I do need to pay attention. Am I taking the easy road right now?
Right.
I think about that financially. I wish there had been some people that said, I'm glad you're doing this shift, but are you taking the easy road? Is that the safe road?
Right.
Maybe this is something you need to do.
Or even come up with, hey, here's an alternative to what I'm trying to navigate a business world and I had no idea what I was doing.
Yeah.
And, you know, some would argue maybe I still don't know what I'm doing.
Nah.
And they may have a point. but yeah, just some guidance like, hey, here's a, you know, if you pick this kind of industry, here are some pitfalls and here's some things to look out for.
Yeah.
But that, you know, doesn't happen a lot.
Yeah.
You kind of learn as you go. It's like, but I think of the, golf analogy, just like other things. If you play, you're good at something, and then you're probably not good at another area.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a terrible putter. I hate it. I hate putting. It doesn't make any sense to me.
Mm-hmm.
But if I want to be better than I am now, I've got to learn how to do it some. And so I think what I would do is I would really grind and work really hard on the things that I knew how to do. I would engage those to the nth degree. And then the things I was not great at, sometimes I would try to get better at them. But just enough to get by, you know, and then, but later I think I've learned, hey, I've got to be at least serviceable in my weakness areas. I've got to recognize, or I've got to get somebody to help me in those areas. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And so putting the whole game together sometimes takes a while.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
And you see that in, you see that in business leaders that have had several companies that have failed and then they hit it and they have one that works really well. You see it. Nick Saban had a lot of failures before he built the dynasty at Alabama.
Mm-hmm.
Most coaches do, but we don't remember that, you know? And so I think just somebody, as you're saying, when I was younger, older, saying, hey, this, you know, this is okay, but maybe there's a better way to think about it.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah. I like that. I like that.
But we're here now. Maybe we can do that.
Well, I think that's the segue, really, isn't it? To if we have an ask today, I think that's our ask for listeners is, gosh, if this conversation's hitting you and you're going, man, I wish I had a place or.
That was me, I think.
Oh, I thought the whole board just crashed. It didn't. You know, I think there's some guys who are listening in today going, man, I wish I had a place to sit around and process some of this stuff. I think that's part of what we're dreaming about is there a way for us to do something with some other men face-to-face, sitting around a table, probably a circle more than a table, but just sitting around some guys and giving them a space to process some things. And like I said earlier, we don't know exactly what we're talking about. You know, this could be a group that lasts for a while. This could be a focus group. It could be a beta test. But we just feel like we would love to know, are there any of these guys that are listening into us today going, hey, Steve, Jeff, man, would love to spend some time with you two, group of 5, 6, 7, 8, I don't know what the number is even, guys, kicking around life and best practices in this season as I'm moving in the next season of life. I think that's something that we're saying, gosh, if you're out there and you're listening and that's interesting, would you reach out to us and let us know? We'd love to pull you together and maybe just have a lunch one day or something really simple, but be able to talk about, hey, what's the needs? What are the things you're wanting to process? Where are the places in your life you'd like to have some guys walk with you? And I think that's kind of the gist of what we're thinking about right now.
Hmm. Yeah.
So next steps, what does that look like?
I don't know.
Okay. No, I don't mean specifically.
Oh.
But high level. If somebody is listening and they want to do that, just reach out to us and say, hey, would love to connect with you guys sometime.
Yes, I think that's when you listed all those things just a minute ago, I thought, man, like a beta group or a focus group feels pretty good.
Uh-huh.
Because I don't think we know. I think we know.
The big idea. Yeah.
Yeah, what we want to do kind of in general, but I don't think we know what that looks like. And maybe the holidays are a good time to kind of, you know, marinate on that a bit. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah. For us. But. Yeah. Well, I just.
And then just start somewhere. You just start and see how it goes. Oh, this went great. This went terrible. You know.
Yeah.
That's okay.
Okay. Yeah.
Do you think something else?
No. I mean, I think it's the same thing. I think it's just like, I think what we're really saying is, hey, if this conversation's hit you and you go, gosh, I wish I had a safe place to be processing some stuff, reach out to us, you know, through emails on the connected to the podcast, or if you know our numbers or email, reach out to us. We'd love to hear from you and figure out if there's a way we can get together. If you'd give us an hour or so of your time and just kick around some thoughts that we have, we'd love feedback from some listeners on this. That feels like that'd be the great next step.
Yeah, because if there's no feedback, then...
Then that answers our question real quick.
That answers that question.
That's exactly right.
We continue potting away.
That's right.
Yeah. Well, I think it comes back to what we talked about in our very first episode, though. It really is just another extension of you and I saying, is there a way we can steward what we've been given to other men who are walking the journey? You know, I'd love to be a part of that.
I think the feedback that we get the most is, and you know, the reasons behind this, I have no idea. Personality types, age, season of life, but I don't know that we're difficult to be around in that way.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like we're a pretty relaxed.
Yeah.
In this office, you've seen it all.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you've counseled people in the ditch.
Yeah. Yeah.
We
both know the ditch.
Yeah, familiar with the ditch.
Yeah.
And I just don't think there are many surprises at this point in life.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and so from that way, it doesn't bother me to hear a bunch of stuff, you know, from other guys or what they're struggling with or, you know. And so I think a relaxed, safe vibe is what I get that we provide.
Yeah. That'd be a blast. Well, we're putting it out there.